Thank you. In fact, I've prepared some notes, which you can handle. These are handwritten, I'm sorry. Hope you can read me. So today I want to be very elementary and explain the basic definitions of the subject. What is Hermitian K-theory, and especially what relation there is between Hermitian K-theory and algebraic K-theory, and why we should be interested to this all the type of K-theory people are not working with usually, okay, except few exceptions. So let me, if you want the general philosophy of algebraic K-theory, from Grothendieck, Quillen, and many other people, is linked with, in some kind, the general linear group. And of course, there is no reason why we should limit ourselves to the general linear group. There are other classical groups, like the orthogonal group, and this is exactly the subject of Hermitian K-theory. So these two K-theories which I'm going to define are very much related one to each other, but there are also some differences. For example, we don't have both periodicity in algebraic K-theory, but we shall see there is an analog of both periodicity in Hermitian K-theory. And this is essentially what I wanted to prove in this series of lectures. So let me start. I don't know what is the background of the people here, so I started with very general definitions. First with algebraic K-theory, just to fix the notations. So I just follow my notes here, which you have. So there is not easy for you to write notes, since you have, I'm going to follow this paper. Okay. So what is the general spirit of algebraic K-theory? So A is a ring with unit, just to fix the ideas. And I call P of A the category of finitely generated projective. So I choose right A modules. Of course, there is some arbitrary choice here. We can take other categories, like any exact category, for example, Quillen's definition, but just to fix the ideas, I just take rings. So P, if you take the notation, I choose this phi of A to be the set of objects in PA up to isomorphism. And if E is an object, I call E dot its isomorphism class. And what is nice with phi of A is that it is a semigroup by the following operation. You declare that the sum of two classes is just a class of the direct sum. And since it is a semigroup, there is an associated group. I should say Grothendieck group. K of A, which is thus the, you just take the product of I of A by itself, and you divide by the well-known equivalence relation that AB is congruent to CD if you can find an E such that A plus D plus E equal B plus C plus C. This definition looks very naive, but in fact it's very important. And let me just give two examples, two basic examples, to show the interest of this definition. So one is coming from number theory, so you choose A to be the ring of integers, in a number field, then K of A is a well-known group, is just Z plus a finite group, and this finite group is called the ideal class group, which is a definition of Kummer. And the reason why this group is interesting is because Kummer proved that if this finite group is zero for certain cases, then you can prove Fermat's theorem. Okay, that was the old-fashioned way of trying to prove Fermat's theorem. But anyway, this is a group which is very interesting in number theory. So K of A is some, as information, the ideal class group, in some sense. The second example is coming from topology. You take from A the ring of continuous functions, on a compact space, X, with complex values, for example. So that's, in fact, a Banach algebra, but we forget about the topology. You just look at A as a ring, and the basic result is that if you take the tensor product of this group by the rational, so if you make everything rational, then you just have the even cohomology, the Cech even cohomology of X. So in other words, you can reconstruct at least part of the cohomology by using this group K of A, which is called K theory. Okay. So those are the two basic examples. There are many others, of course. I just realized that in the notes I forgot to say that, of course, K of A is a functor. These notes are incomplete, okay, in some sense, so you have to complete it. So between the lines you can add this sentence. K of A is a functor in the sense that if I have, there are many ways to view it as a functor. One simplest way is to have a ring homomorphism. If you have a ring homomorphism F, then you have a an induced functor on the category of projective modules from P of A to P of B, which is defined by F star of E on the level of object. Okay. And this functor F star induces a map from phi of A to phi of B. You say phi or phi, as well. Doesn't matter. And therefore, a map from K of A to K of B, which is functorial in some sense. I choose a ring homomorphism, but in fact, the basic thing is to give an additive functor from P of A to P of B. It's not just a ring homomorphism. Okay? And such a functor is given by a bimodule. Okay? The reason why this remark is interesting is that we can extend the definition to rings without units. This is very important in operator algebra theory. So if a ring, so it's just the same axiom as a ring, except you don't assume that you have a unit element, but you assume that A is a K-algebra in some obvious sense. For example, you can choose K equals Z. And then out of this K-algebra, there is a well-known construction, which is in Bourbaki, I guess, which is you just take A cross K as an additive group, and you just tweak the multiplication by putting A lambda, A prime lambda prime, to be A prime, comma lambda, A prime plus lambda A prime plus lambda prime A. Well, if, well, it should be, in fact, more functorial by taking A prime plus lambda A prime plus A lambda prime, comma lambda lambda prime. And this is a ring with unit, and the unit 1 is just 0, 1, in case the ring with unit, of course, and you have an augmentation sending A lambda to A, and so you can apply the K functor to this ring homomorphism, and you define K of A as a kernel of this augmentation, epsilon. What is not obvious is that this definition is in fact independent of K. Because you can view a ring without unit as a K-algebra in many ways. I choose K equals Z here, for example, but if you have a Banach algebra, you can take K equals the real numbers or the complex numbers, but you get the same result. Okay. Now there is, so this is kind of, for example, you can take X, a locally compact space, and A to be the ring of continuous functions F from X to the complex numbers such that F of X goes to zero if X goes to infinity. Is that also a sister algebra? And you can ask what is K of A? And according to what I said here, it's just, in fact, the kernel of the K theory of C of X plus, where plus means the one-point compactification of X, going to Z, which is K of the real numbers. Because you can view A as a C algebra. So why, I should say why I'm interested with rings without unit in 1 minute. What happened with the blackboard? What? It doesn't move this one? There is no electric? Okay. But this one moves, okay. Okay, I think everybody knows what I write until that point. Now there is another, inspired by topology, Bass defined another group which is called K1, So I'm coming back, A is a ring with unit now. Now, before going there, I should add a remark here, maybe. Which is not completely trivial. Since we extend the definition of K0 to rings without units, for example, we can, let me put this as an exercise. You can, for example, just to warm you up, you take a ring with unit, and you have a map from A to the ring of matrices, n cross n with values in A, okay, sending the element A to the matrix A 0 0. Okay, that's a map of rings without unit, and you can wonder what happens in K theory. Okay, in fact, the exercise is to show that the map from K of A to K of M and A induced by this ring homomorphism is an homomorphism. Okay, so in other words, you have extend the functor for rings without units by taking rings which do not respect the solid unit. Okay, this is called Morita equivalence. Okay, so let's come back with Bass definition. So the Bass definition K1 is linked with another type of animal, which is a general linear group. So I define GLR of A to be the group of invertible matrices R cross R with coefficients in A okay, and GLA, the infinite general linear group, is just a limit of all these finite groups, all these finite type groups. So this is a union of all GLR. One has to be careful that we don't take infinite matrices, okay, with arbitrary coefficients. We take somehow matrices which are trivial outside the finite range, okay. Now, Bass definition, K1, is just by definition GLA divided by the commutator subgroup. In fact, there is a lemma which is very important in the theory, which is due to Whitehead, that in fact this commutator subgroup is generated by so-called elementary matrices. So a matrix is called elementary if all the elements on the diagonal is equal to 1, and outside of the diagonal you just have at most one element which is different from 0. So let's say on the line I in the column J, the row, yes, is called EIJ lambda. Okay. The reason why this, for example, K1 of a field that's a very nice exercise. It's just the invertible element. Okay. Another example, which is much less trivial, if you take A the ring of integers, in a number field, then the determinant induces an isomorphism between K1 of A and the unit elements in A. So this is the theorem of Bass minor and fair. If you want an example coming from topology, if you take K1 of a Banach algebra, K1 of C of X, so C of X is a ring of Cronus functions, there is a map from this to the K-theory of the suspension of X, in some sense. I will be more precise in later on. Okay, so this group is highly non-trivial because it's a K-theory of another ring, which is linked with a space X. Okay. So the basic result about K1 and K0, so I write, of course, K0 to be K, and I would like to have K1 as a derived functor in some sense to K, and this is the following theorem. I should say before how you can extend K1 to non-Hamilton rings. Well, you can follow the same scheme as for K0. So if a ring, if A is a ring without unit, one may define K1 of A as a kernel of K1 of A plus to K1 of K if A is a K algebra. But then something funny happens. This is not, this depends of K. Okay, so this is not a good definition in the sense that it depends of K. So if you say K equals Z or K equals R, then you find different results. Anyway, I assume that A is a K algebra, and just to state the following theorem, which is actually due to Milner, that if we have an exact sequence of rings, so by this I mean that you have rings without unit, okay, and you have ring maps, and so the underlying sequence of abelian group is exact. Okay? So that's my definition of exact sequence of rings. So if this is exact, then we have an exact sequence, a short exact sequence of K groups, K1 of A prime, K1 of A, K1 of A double prime, K0 of A prime, and so on. So this is exact. It's not exactly the way Minor states the theorem, but it's a consequence of another theorem, which is stated in Minor's book. So I have in my notes now, page 1-3. So the idea of Milner is, well, this, I mean, there are many ways to this kind of excision in algebraic K-theory, and there are many ways to write excision in algebraic topology. One way is to use cohomology with compact supports, essentially what we are doing here. Another way is to use Meyer-Vettori's axioms. So the Meyer-Vettori's point of view is the following. You take a Cartesian square of rings, so my notations are A, A1, A2, A prime. So this is Psi 1, Psi 2. So these are Cartesian squares of rings. But you assume that one of the maps, Psi 1 or Psi 2, is surjective. For example, Psi 1. So it's Cartesian square of unit rings. So I'm just sketching the proof of the theorem. Okay. So we take such a Cartesian square, and one Minor's proof in fact, this proof is a little bit sketchy. It's not too difficult, so. So the lemma, if you want, is that we get a Meyer-Vittoris exact sequence. Starting from K1 of A and ending on K0 of A prime. So this is in the notes, okay? Well, it's not completely obvious to the lemma, which is as an exercise in Minor's book. I would like to view it in another way for generalization in Hermitian K-theory. So the sketch of the lemma, the proof of the lemma. Well, I should say why this lemma. Well, maybe I should say first why the lemma. Implies the theorem. Okay. The lemma implies the theorem because the idea somehow is to take, let's assume that A and A double prime are rings with units for simplicity, then you have A prime plus going to A double prime, and you have K. And in order to prove the theorem from the lemma, you just have to look at this Cartesian square, okay, and just look at what is happening to the maps. Okay, so if A and A double prime are unitary rings, in general case, you just add a unit to A and A double prime, and the theorem from A and A double prime arbitrary. The consequence of the theorem from A double prime unitary. Just add units and see what's happening. Okay. So the essential content of the theorem is the proof of the lemma, in fact. Okay. So if you know how to prove the lemma, then you know how to prove the theorem. Okay. So the proof of the lemma needs some technology, which I think is interesting for other reasons. So let me explain you why. So sketch proof of the lemma. One has introduced a relative K group, which is interesting by itself, which is also due to Bass. So if you take phi from P of A to P of B be an additive functor which is cofinal in the sense of Bass. So cofinal means that any object in P of B is a direct summand in some phi of E. Okay. For example, this is true if phi is induced by a ring homomorphism, because any projective module is a direct summand in a free module, and of course B to the N is the image of A to the N. Okay. So this is true if phi is induced by a ring homomorphism. But there are many other examples. Now, to such a functor, there is a relative group, which I call K of phi, which has been defined also by Bass long time ago. Okay, and this relative group fits into an exact sequence between K1 and K0. Of course, there are many modern ways to define this K of phi. I just want to be elementary for this first lecture. Okay? If we want to be sophisticated, we have to take the K theory spectrum, take the homotopy fiber, and so on. Okay? But I don't want to use this technology for the moment. Okay? So let me be elementary as it was 40 years ago. Okay? So what is K of phi? So K of phi is just a free group, is a quotient of the free group generated by triples E0, E1, alpha, where E0 and E1 are objects in PA, and alpha is a relative isomorphism. So it's a isomorphism from phi E0 to phi E1. Okay. I should say the free group generated by isomorphism classes of such free groups. There is an obvious notion of isomorphism. And the quotient by what? By the relation which is kind of co-cycle condition, which is A0 E1 alpha plus E1 E2 beta, you want this to be equal to E0 E2 beta alpha. Okay? And that's the way Bass defined this group. Okay? Okay. Now, in order to prove the lemma, as we do in algebraic topology, we just have to prove so-called excision between relative groups . So the fact is that if we call this diagram, you have, of course, a map from the K theory of the first vertical map, which is phi two. So the fact that K of phi two is homomorphic to K of phi one. Okay. And If you want, an analog of this is when you want to prove this kind of excision in cohomology theory. For example, you can pick as an example the continuous function on A union B, the continuous function of A, then the continuous function of B, and the continuous function on A intersection V. So you have, if you take the continuous function of compact spaces, you have, oh, I'm sorry for the notation, A and B are not rings, are spaces. I should rather put X and Y. And what I'm trying to explain is that in cohomology you have excision, which says that the cohomology of X union Y comma Y is homomorphic to the cohomology of X modulo X under Y. Okay, so that's called excision axiom. And we are applying the same game here to the algebraic context. Okay, this is exactly what we have. Okay. So this fact is not very difficult to prove. You just have to use the definitions and the reference. Well, I forgot to put references in my notes. These explain details in my paper with Villamayor a long time ago. Okay. So the reference I call KV. I shall give the references next time. Okay. But there are so from this fact you deduce Maria Vettori. By just chasing the diagram, okay? Just chasing the diagram to prove. See, what you prove, you want to prove that you want to prove this exact sequence, okay? So what you write an exact sequence for K of phi 1, K of phi 2. So you have, for example, K1 of A, K1 of A2, K1, K0 of phi 2, K of A, K0 of A2, but you have another one with K of phi 1, which is K0 of A1, K0 of A prime, and you have vertical maps. Now you just make some diagram chasing. Since you have an isomorphism here, you can get, for example, you want to define the connecting homomorphism from K1 of A prime to K0 of A, you just go from K1 of A prime to K of phi 1. Since you have an isomorphism here, you get a map from K0 of A. Okay, so that's a very simple exercise. Okay. The only thing which is not completely trivial, well, you can prove the exact sequence except, so there is a except, you have to make a special treatment to the case, the two extreme case. For example, let me just sketch a proof that K1 of A, K1 of A1 plus K1 of A2, K1 of A prime. So we want to show this sequence is exact, for example. Okay, so what is the technology to show that? It's not completely obvious, because you take an element of K1 of A prime, so it's defined by a matrix, GLR of A prime. Okay. No, sorry, not what I mean. You take two matrices here, alpha 1 and alpha 2. Okay, it defines two elements in K1 of A1 and K1 of A2. So alpha 1 belongs to GLR of A1. Alpha 2 belongs to GLR of A2. And this map is just taking alpha 1 inverse alpha 2 in some sense and takes its image in A prime. So I should say, let's put a bar by indicating that we are going to A prime. Okay. But this is zero in K1 of A prime, does not mean that this is, I should say 1, in fact. 1 is a unit element in K1, but this does not mean that alpha bar 1 equals alpha bar 2. That's not true. This is saying that it is 1 means that this means that alpha 1 bar inverse alpha 2 bar is a product of elementary matrices. But now, what is nice with elementary matrices, and this is where we use the fact that the map from A1 or A2 to A prime is surjective, every elementary matrix can be lifted in elementary matrix. Okay? And therefore, you can make a correction to alpha bar 1, for example, in such a way that this is equal exactly to 1. And therefore, you have used the fact now that you have a Cartesian square, which is GLR of A, GLR of A1, GLR of A2, and GLR of A prime. Okay. So this is Cartesian. Okay. And because you have a Cartesian square, you can construct an element K1 of A. Okay, that's a sketch of the proof. And you do the same business with K0, but working with projection operator rather than with general linear group. Okay. So that's really the sketch of the proof. Okay, I see the time is going very fast. I've not started even my subject, the Hermitian K-theory. So, but I wanted to put this notation straight because we are going to copy this in the Hermitian framework. So now we are in page 6. Okay. So now we somehow have to modify our subject. Okay. We are working with projective modules, but now we are going to work with projective modules with a supplement structure, like a quadratic form. Okay? So the good setting for that, so one good setting, is to start with a ring A with anti-involution. Sometimes we forget to say anti-involution. I say just involution. So anti-involution means that A B bar equal B bar A bar. If I call bar the anti-involution. Okay, so you switch the factors of the product. Okay, and of course it's additive. Okay? And moreover, we give an element epsilon, which is plus or minus 1. Well, there is a slight generalization is to take epsilon in the center with epsilon epsilon bar equal 1. But it's already complicated like it is, so I don't want to make things more complicated, okay? So let's take epsilon equal plus or minus 1. That will be enough for the main applications. Okay. Now I want to define, I come back to high school now, okay? So now if you start with E, projective module, all projective modules are finitely generated, okay, if I don't forget to say that, okay? So finitely generated, projective, right, A module. I want to define what is a self-collinear form. So a self-collinear form on E is given by a Z-bilinear map which I call phi from E cross E to A with the following assumption that phi, if I multiply the vectors by scalars, I use Greek letters for scalars, so x lambda y mu, that should be equal to lambda bar phi of xy mu. So implicitly, x and y are elements in E and lambda mu. I shall try to be consistent with the annotations that I use Greek letters for scalars. Scalars means here elements in the ring. Okay. So this is called a Sesquiner form. Now, what I call an epsilon Hermitian form is just a Sesquiner form, is such a phi, but with some kind of symmetry. So the symmetry that phi of yx is epsilon phi of xy bar. For example, the simplest example is to take E equal A and phi of xy equal x bar y. Okay. Then you can check it's a one Hermitian form. I shall give more examples in a few seconds. There is another way to state the definition is to use the notion of dual. So, to be more precise, so I call E star, which is a dual, or anti-dual, I don't know what to say exactly, of E to be the set of morphisms additive maps from E to A such that, so one has to be careful because we are dealing with non-commutative rings, f of x lambda equal lambda bar f of x. The key point here is that the dual is a module on the right. Okay. So E star is the right A module. Just define f mu to be defined by f mu of x equal f of x mu. And this is consistent with my definition. Okay? And you can check that the bidual, so the map from E to E is bidual, which I don't want to define, which is easy, that's an isomorphism. Since E is finitely generated projective. Now, if I come back to this notion of epsilon Hermitian form, you can check as an exercise that given phi is equivalent to give ourselves a map phi tilde from E to its dual, okay, and the correspondence is that phi tilde of y applied to x is phi of xy. If I'm not mistaken, okay. So it's equivalent to give a Sesquiner form and to give a map between E and this dual. Okay. And now the notion of symmetry. So say f phi is epsilon Hermitian is equivalent to say that the transpose of phi tilde. So one has to be careful. What is the transpose of phi tilde? Is a map from the bidual to the dual, but the bidual has been identified with E in a canonical way, and the condition of epsilon Hermitian says that T phi tilde is equal to epsilon excited with this convention. Okay. And in fact, if you look at And now I forgot to say a very important definition, which is that phi is non-degenerate if phi tilde is an isomorphism. So it's somehow it's more convenient to work with phi tilde rather than work with phi. And in fact, there is a generalization of this notion of projective module of a ring with involution, which is the notion of Hermitian category, okay, which has been developed by Ohn-Bostel, for example. Okay. So you can categorize many things here. Of course, there is a notion also of morphisms, so what about morphisms? So if you take two, so I call the data E-phi to be an Hermitian module, or epsilon Hermitian. And you can define what is a morphism from E-phi to F psi, okay, so this is given I'm trying to say my notation. In fact, here I'll jump to page 17 already. Well, okay, doesn't matter. So a morphism is just, for me, it is an isomorphism F from E to F, which respects the self-quinaire form, which means that phi, that psi of F of X, F of Y, equal phi of X, Y. Okay. There is a more convenient way to say that is to use, again, the notion of dual. So you start with E, and you have a map from E to its dual, phi tilde, and you have a map F from E to capital F, and you have phi tilde to the dual of F, and now you have the transpose going from backwards, okay? And this condition on the right is just equivalent to commutativity of this diagram, okay? So we just write that psi, if we compose on the right, on the left, F by psi tilde with TF, then you get psi tilde. That's equivalent. Okay? There is, in fact, another way. Okay. I want to introduce the adjoint. Yeah. Yes. In fact, I reversed my diagram in page 17. So in fact, it's slightly better to define the adjoint of a morphism F. So F is a morphism from E to F. Okay. The adjoint is, by definition, composing from the right to the left, psi tilde, transpose of F, and phi tilde inverse, because we assume that the forms are non-degenerate, and the fact that you have a morphism is equivalent to say that FF star is identity of E, and FF star is the identity of F. So F star is going from backwards from F to E. So it's easy to check that you have a category and so on. Okay. I would like to define, because it's very important for the future, what is an even Hermitian form. A form phi is called even if there exists phi zero, the cislinear form, such that phi of xy equals phi zero of xy plus epsilon phi zero of yx bar. Or equivalently, in terms of phi tilde is phi zero tilde plus epsilon transpose of phi zero tilde. This is called an even form. Okay, and they are very important. I will say why next time. But let me, since the time is closing, I think I have just 1 hour. I just have 1 hour. Yes. So let me give examples. So I'll just jump to the last page now, okay? Page 14. And then I will go on next time for the generalities, okay? So the first example is A is a field of characteristics different from 2. Then you can define the Grothendieck group of this category of one Hermitian modules. And this category is very interesting. In fact, this Grothendieck group is very interesting. It's called let's call F the field. So this is called the Grothendieck Wied group of F. And I think it will be studied in Fabien Morel's lecture also. Okay. Another example is to take the ring of Cauchy's function on a compact space. With real values, I change slightly my point of view, then the Grothendieck group, by the way, this Grothendieck group, I will call it KQ of A, from Hermitian K series or quadratic K series. So if you choose the sign of symmetry equal 1, then you find two copies of K of A. Okay. So this is for epsilon equal 1. And you find the K theory of A tensor, the complex numbers, which is linked with the even cohomology if epsilon equal minus 1. Okay. I will not talk about the third example because I will talk next time, but let me take example number 4 . There is a trivial example. You take a ring B and you take the product with the opposite ring, okay? And there is an obvious involution which has AB to BA, and you can ask what we get by taking the Hermitian K theory of that. So KQA is in fact canonically isomorphic to the K theory of B. So in some sense, but this is a little bit misleading, Hermitian K theory is a includes K theory as a particular case. Okay, so K theory is a particular case of Hermitian K theory. You just take a ring, cross its opposite ring, and you take Hermitian form of that, and you find the K theory. Okay. Okay, this was my first lecture, so maybe I've been a little bit too slow. So, but I wanted to put the definition right, so I don't know if some people feel like going to sleep, then I can go faster if you want. What is your opinion? I was a little bit afraid that people don't know algebraic case, so I don't know. Anyway, I shall try to be a little bit faster next time, yes. But you have the notes, so what I shall do next time, since you have already the notes, I made a mistake by distributing them too soon, you can just read them, found some mistakes, and just tell me on Wednesday. So I can go, what I can do on Wednesday, I can go a little bit faster, okay, since you have the notes, you can read them before, okay, and then I go to number two, which is higher algebraic K theory and higher Hermitian K theory. Okay. So I assume that you will read these notes a little bit, at least a little bit, just to have an idea. Okay. I don't want ask you to go to the blackboard and explain the notes, as Gelfand would like to do so. Okay. I have some extra notes if somebody needs them. Thank you.